and 4 TFW Mobile.
W2JKT Mobile. Good morning, Ken.
And 2SWJ Mobile.
Hey, good morning, guys. Hope everybody's Thursday's going well.
Yeah, doing okay. Just here sipping my coffee as I head down the road.
Scott, you headed out to meet the guys for breakfast?
No, today I'm heading out to set up for a funeral.
Yeah, it's hard to hear about that.
Yeah, sorry to hear, Scott.
It's okay. It's one of the things I do for the church. Just help set up for the natural burial. Don't really know how I got involved in that, but, you know, it's just one of the things that I got involved in and doing.
Well, it's good of you to do it. It's a tough job. Somebody's going to do it.
It's funny. You mentioned you're drinking your coffee as you're driving down the road. A friend of mine was telling me that they had to explain to their kid the other day. They were driving down the road and they saw a sign that said, "Don't drink and drive." And their kid was like, "Daddy, you're drinking and driving." He was drinking his Coke or something while he was driving. He had to explain the whole thing about drinking and driving while he was driving and drinking and all that to his kid.
Well, that sounds like it's an awkward conversation to have with a small child.
Yeah, it was, I'm sure. But it's just funny how kids perceive the world.
Yeah, kids are very literal, aren't they?
Very, very literal.
So what are you up to this weekend, Ken?
Yeah, I think we'll be out and about. I got to get a new range hood. A vented one. I think Susan wants a gas stove, so we had the gas line put in the other day. And then now I got to get some kind of vented hood so I can vent it to the outside.
Yeah, that sounds fun. Yeah, we had the same thing done. We had the city come and run up the gas line so my wife could have her nice big, you know, 36-inch gas range. And, you know, I love that thing. It's such a great thing to cook on. So I've always loved gas and how well you can control it for cooking. But, yeah, we finally have resolution on our HVAC. I guess I told you that the compressor blew out on our air conditioning system on Saturday. We got the quotes yesterday, and oh, my goodness, how expensive has an air conditioning system gotten?
I know it's been about 5 or 6 years ago we had both of ours replaced, but I think I got both of them installed for like about $8K.
What did you have put in?
Yeah, it's like a furnace under the house, a furnace up in the attic, and then the two air units outside. I think one's a 2-ton and the other's a 2.5.
That seems almost impossibly cheap for all that.
Man, those guys showed up about 7 in the morning. They were gone by 2.
Wow, that's pretty wild. But we're getting a trade put in, and it's a CR18 inverter system and everything. And granted, this is kind of like top of the line. But it's still, we also have to get all the ductwork replaced because sometime in the past, it had a 2.5-ton unit on it, and they upsized it through a 3-ton, but they didn't upsize the ductwork at all. And this unit can run up to 3.5 tons, so we've got to have, you know, a bigger duct put in, because it can run between, like, 9,000 BTU and 40,000 BTU or something. But that whole thing, this whole thing is costing us, like, $24K. It's just staggering. It's like a car.
Yeah, they know they got you over a barrel and you gotta have it, so, you know, they just charge you what they can. Yeah, I need to have my ducts replaced, but for right now, it's working fine, and man, those things, they really saved me on power.
Yeah, that's one thing I'm looking forward to, is that the old unit's only a CR14, and this one's a CR18, so it'll save us about a third on our cooling costs. I had Claude AI run a model based on energy rates, solar exposure, and the square footage of our house, and the heat load and all that. And we should save, it's saying we should save almost $1,000 a year on energy. So, you know, it'll pay for itself over the long term, but it's a really long term.
Yeah, copy that. When they were installing mine, they realized that they, the old, when they first, when whoever installed it, they put a 2-ton downstairs and a 1.5-ton upstairs. That's why my upstairs always struggled. So this time I got a 2.5 upstairs and a 2 downstairs.
Yeah, it sounds like they got it backwards the first time.
Yeah, but I milked those things for like 30 years.
Yeah, our old unit only lasted 10 years from when they installed it because the installer did such a bad job. You know, they used the undersized ductwork, and the returns that they built were really leaky, and they pulled in a lot of air past the water.
Copy that. Our sounds like the repeater's really, really scratchy again this morning.
Yeah, I'm also down here at Gossett, you know, up by your neck of the woods, so it's got a little scratchy for me too. It's kind of a dead spot for me.
Yeah, that one was a lot better.
Yeah, I was down by that train bridge.
King and 4 GFW Mobile.
W2JKT, come on in here, Scott.
And 2SWJ Mobile. Y'all talking about air conditioners. I'm lucky I'm not having to replace mine. I'm still in a fairly new house, I guess. Mine's 11 years old, I guess, now.
Yeah, I think I'm going to have somebody run the duct for the range hood, because you got to go through the cabinet, and depending on what hood I get, I either got to have a 6-inch duct or a 7-inch duct.
Yeah, our range hood had, I think, an 8, because it's like a 400 or 500 CFM range hood. It's pretty wild, because, you know, we have a 36-inch 6-burner stove, and it can do, like, if all 6 burners are going, it's like 100,000 BTU or something. So it's got to work pretty hard to get that out.
Is the oven part of your stove gas, or is it electric?
The oven's electric.
Decide which way I want to go.
Like electric ovens better because it doesn't get humid inside. A straight gas oven is hard to make bread and stuff because it gets too humid in the oven, so you end up with like soggy crust and stuff. You can't get a nice crispy crust on bread with a standard gas oven, so that's why we like the electric. It stays nice and dry in there, and it's great for pizza and bread and stuff like that.
Yeah, copy that. Yeah, I've been trying to decide if I go with one of those, I won't have to change anything. If I go with one of the others, then I gotta put in a little 110 plug right there behind the stove. But fortunately, my electrical box is just on the other side of the wall.
What range are you looking at, or did you get one already?
Nah, we haven't gotten one yet. We're just shopping around. May wait till one of the holidays come up to get it, where maybe I can get a little bit cheaper. They're pretty proud of them.
Are you looking at a 30 or a 36, or what size?
Yeah, I only have mine cut out for a 30.
Yeah, you should have lots of options there. So we have, I forget what brand it was, but there's a home oven now, a 30-inch. I think it's made by... Oh, gosh, I can't remember. But the oven can go to 750 degrees to make pizza with. It has a special pizza mode that'll do, you know, 700 degrees for like half an hour or something before it comes back down. But it'll get nice and hot for you to make pizza with.
And copy that. We'll have to check it out.
Yeah, our cafe makes pretty good pizza. It can get to 550, but I've got the wood-fired pizza oven that, you know, that gets to 750, 800 if I really want to make good pizza.
Dang, I'm coming to your house then and get some pizza.
Yeah, I've been making, I've been learning pizza for 3 or 4 years now, and I've gotten pretty good at it. I do a Neapolitan style, So like if you go down to Lombardi's or something down in the South End or something like that, you know, there are a lot of coal-fired and wood-fired pizza places down there that do a Neapolitan pizza. And that's the style that I usually work in. I don't do like the New York thin crust style, but I'd like to learn to do that one too. It's a lot lower hydration and stuff like that, but it's hard to get. I have a hard time getting a really super thin crust like that. So the Neapolitan is a little bit more forgiving.
It's been a long time since I've had Neapolitan pizza. It used to be a place down at Stone and Park that I went to get that, but it's now a cigar place.
I'm not sure I know what kind of pizza that is.
Neapolitan pizza is the style that originated in Napoli in Italy. It's more of a higher hydration dough, so it gets a lot more air pockets in it, and it's a lot more like kind of like a fluffy, soft and crunchy crust. It's not quite thin and crispy like a New York pizza is.
Yeah, copy that. So it's all about the crust.
Yes, sir, and there is actually a regulatory agency that that you have to get approval from to call yourself a Neapolitan pizza joint.
Of course there is.
Do you have regulatory approval?
I do not, but then again, I don't have a commercial pizzeria. But I do follow the standard.
Uh-oh, we all went to sleep. K4TSW.
W2JKT. I almost even said my call sign wrong. I'm so tired.
Good morning, KO4HKX.
Good morning, Patrick. And Friday's coming.
Happy Friday Eve, Patrick, W2JKT.
Same to you guys. I'll be glad when it gets here.
My dog woke us up at 1 o'clock in the morning. I never got back to sleep.
Sorry, I doubled. Go ahead, Eric.
I was just saying, our dogs woke us up at 1 o'clock in the morning, and I never got back to sleep.
I was good last night. I slept all night long. Alarm clock had to wake me up this morning. So, Eric, I heard you talking about the Neapolitan pizza, but I missed exactly what that was. I've never heard of it before.
It's just a style of pizza that originated in the Napoli region of Italy, and I guess it's a city or something, but in that area. So it's basically a style of the crust. It's a much higher hydration than New York style, so the crust is a lot softer. It still gets crunchy on the outside, but if it's done right, but it's a lot softer on the inside, not quite as dry as a New York style.
Okay. Like I said, I'd never heard of that, so I had no idea what it was.
I heard it, I thought of the ice cream.
Yeah, I think the most noticeable characteristic change is that a Neapolitan pizza will have a much larger cornicione, which is the piece around the outside that doesn't have sauce on it. You know, the edge of the crust tends to be a lot larger and puffier because of the higher water amount creates more steam, and those steam creates larger air pockets and stuff in the crust, so get a more poofy looking pizza.
Okay, makes sense, I guess. But yeah, I'm with you, Ken. That's where my brain went first thing, too.
Well, we're back up to 585 in the TA on 290.
I'm figuring it's going to hit $6 a gallon, which will be the highest I've ever seen it.
Yeah, I think that's coming. And 3 miles later, it's 529 at exit 60. 54-cent difference in three miles.
That's crazy, isn't it?
Isn't it $4 and something up there at the 80?
I don't know, I didn't see.
Yeah, some of the younger guys at work complaining about the cost of it, but then they got, you know, the suckers rolling black smoke every time you take off.
Guess he likes burning money.
Man, did you guys see where that plane hit that fire truck?
Say that again?
See on the news, we're up there at LaGuardia, that plane hit that fire truck.
Yeah, I saw something about that the other day.
Man, that was that was just terrible. I can't believe how hard it hit it. He was, the plane was already down, but I can't believe the controller told the fire truck he was clear.
Well, the controller had probably been close to the end of a 16-hour shift or two, you know, and, thanks to the working regulations for air traffic controllers, it's the same as, like, nurses and firefighters. You do these ridiculously long shifts, and by the end of them, you're just white, and you're going to make mistakes.
Yeah, I'd go with that, but they hadn't been on shift very long, but the traffic was really heavy. Heavier than normal because of a bunch of delays at other places.
Yeah, and I think there's also a shortage of air traffic controllers right now because of the previous shutdown where a lot of them quit. So, it's a mess. I think the article said the plane was still going about 104 miles an hour when it hit the fire truck.
I didn't think it was that fast, but maybe it was. I know it crumpled up the nose of that plane bad.
Yeah, I saw there wasn't much left out of it, and it killed the two pilots. I'm surprised the guys in the fire truck survived.
Man, it looked like it knocked it a couple hundred feet.
One thing's for sure, I bet they're not going to take the controller's word for it from now on.
Yeah, and he realized his mistake, and he was trying to get him to stop, but I guess they just wasn't paying attention.
Well, from my understanding of it, he was already in the runway when the controller started saying stop, stop, stop. And if he stopped like the controller told him to, he would have stopped in the middle of the damn runway. So there really wasn't any way to win that one. It was just a tragic mistake on the controller's part.
Yeah, that's what it looks like it's coming down to. But it would have helped some if the fire truck had a transponder.
Might also help if the driver of the fire truck had looked, too. Back when I used to fly, the tendency was you just took the controller's word for it when they said you were clear. And, that's a dangerous tendency.
That's a dangerous tendency no matter what you're doing. Just taking somebody's word for something.
Yeah, when was the last time you trusted somebody who had their turn signal on?
I know I was on a plane one time and, when they had it where you could listen to the radio transmission with the headphones. And we were getting ready to turn onto the runway, and the controller calls him and asks him if when he gets turned, can he just go ahead and go? And don't dilly-dally, because, I could see the planes were all stacked up coming in, and it's like, man, that plane landed must have been right on our tail when we took off.
They definitely try to push the minimums on the separation. It's pretty common to have a landing within seconds of a liftoff, 10, 15 seconds. But any closer than that, it's too close. But yeah, they definitely try to push those minimums.
Damn, one little hiccup and you're a crash.
Yeah, one of the problems when you're landing is that you have a high angle of attack, and from the cockpit seat, you actually can't see the runway. Until you're almost on top of it because, your high angle will attack as you angle up and it's very hard to see down. So a lot of modern planes have cameras and stuff to help with that. But a lot of it is just trusting that the runway is not occupied when you land, and it's up to the controllers to make sure that happens.
Yeah, you gotta put a lot of faith in him that he's doing what he's supposed to and he didn't party all night, right?
Yeah, one thing for sure, you couldn't pay me enough to fly anywhere right now.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. No point in getting on a plane right now.
Yeah, this was $488 up here, the $80 difference.
It was still $5-something in Shelby this morning when I left.
Cheapest I've seen up here is $519.
Yeah, Patrick, I don't think you were here for it, but I got a bunch of quotes to replace our HVAC system, and we went with a lower one, but we got one quote for like $33,000 to replace our HVAC system.
Holy crap, that's a lot of money for AC system.
We have to have all of our ductwork replaced too, because at some point in the past, a previous owner of the house replaced the system. They went from a 2-ton to a 3-ton. And they did not upsize the ductwork, so our ductwork is undersized to begin with, and the returns were all leaky and letting air in after the filter. So the indoor coil was, you know, like all screwy too. So we're going to have all of that redone for the new system, because we ended up going with an option that including all the ductwork was like 24K. But man, 33K was the highest quote we got, and that was for essentially the same equipment that this other company has given us for, you know, 24.
Now that adds another year to your retirement.
Yeah, don't get me started. Courtney was having a breakdown over that last night.
I'd be doing without AC myself, but that's just a little ridiculous.
Well, we can't even, I mean, we could replace the compressor in the system we've got, but it's got the banned refrigerant in it, so it's like $200 a pound for R22 or whatever it is, and, you know, that would be, you know, $1,600 bucks just the refrigerant, and, you know, 4K for a compressor, and there's no guarantee it would last at all with our ductwork and the returns and all that being so bad, so, yeah, it's not worth it.
That's just, I don't know, I had mine put in 2 years ago, and Dave got the equipment for, and all done for like under $4,000.
What kind of equipment is it, single stage?
Yeah, it's a real small unit. I don't even know what steer it is right now, to be honest with you, but, or tonnage or none of that, so I couldn't answer those questions at the moment. But, I mean, I live in a small, modest house.
Yeah, we're like 1,600 square feet with a basement that we want to condition as well, so it ends up being more like, I think the basement's like 1,200, so, you know, what's that, 2,800 square feet condition space, and, you know, 3 tons will do it, and, you know, we could have got a SEER 13 single stage or whatever, and it would have been a lot cheaper, but, you know, the SEER 14 single stage that we have now didn't really do the job either, so, you know, we just didn't want to replace it with something that also wouldn't do the job.
Oh, I understand. If you're going to do it right. I get it, but I just, that'd be a hard pill to swallow, $24,000 to $33,000.
Hey, guys, I'm on sign with you guys. I'm in the parking lot, so everybody have an awesome weekend if I don't get to talk to you again, and we'll catch you guys back on Monday, KN4CSW.
All right, 73 Ken, have a great day. Be safe in there. We'll talk to you next week, W2JKT.
73 Ken. And you're not going to be around tomorrow, KO4HKX.
Yeah, I will be. So I guess I'll see you on Friday.
All right, have a good day. Talk to you tomorrow.
But yeah, it's definitely a difficult pill to swallow, but, you know, it'll be the last time we ever have to do it, because we are, you know, getting the whole thing redone. You know, we're getting the electrical redone for it, the ductwork and the system and everything. Every component of it's getting replaced, so no more messing around.
Yeah, my whole house is 1,200 square foot, so you're twice what I'm doing, so, I mean, and wasn't there something that caused prices to go up about 2 years ago? I can't remember what it was, something they done, some regulation changed.
Yeah, they banned R410A, and you have to go with R454 now, so it's a lot more expensive to make stuff that runs on that.
Is that like the automotive stuff where they're using propane for the gas?
Yeah, I think R54B is essentially propane, and one of the reasons it doubled the price of air conditioning equipment is because of liability insurance, because if you have a leak, it's highly flammable, and it's very dangerous.
Yeah, that's what they've done in the automotive field, too. And honestly, there's not a lot of difference, the propellant, from what they were using to what they are, the propane now. I've known guys have been using propane propellant AC since, I don't know, early 2000s, and putting it right in on top of, you know, R134.
Yeah, from a thermodynamic point of view, it's not that different from R134 or R410, but, yeah, like, I wouldn't want to get in a wreck with a car with propane in the refrigeration system, that's for sure.
But like you say, you got to cover the liability and all that stuff from one little accident.
I just don't want to have my house burned down.
Yeah, I don't want to be trapped in a car and maybe explode on me either, you know what I'm saying?
propane as a propellant, I just don't see that as a good idea.
I think it's one of those examples where the environmentalists were allowed to go a little too far.
Yeah, hopefully they fix it before long. The pendulum will swing back the other way. But I'm going to hop out here for a minute and make my stop for the morning and grab me a cold drink, and I'll be back in just a moment. KO4HKX.
KUJKT.
KO4HKX, I'm back.
Welcome back, Patrick. W2JKT. Yeah, this is going to be a rough day.
Yeah, getting no sleep, or little to no sleep. It's going to be a rough one. You got a lot going on at work today, too.
Yeah, CEO's in town this week, so it's a busy week.
Well, hopefully you keep your head down and stay out of it. Not too much trouble for you today.
Yeah, luckily I'm not far up enough in leadership to really be on the radar for the CEO, but another step and I might be. Hey, have I asked you if you have any of those, Amazon lithium batteries that have, like, the Bluetooth app that comes with them?
I got Amazon lithium batteries, and then I missed the connector, whatever it was you was asking.
If you have any of those that have the Bluetooth interface for your, like, it's the app that goes with your phone.
I do not, but I have been looking into them. I've been looking into the EcoWorthy brand, because I have some of their other batteries. And I've had good luck out of them.
All right, let me know if you get one that's got the Bluetooth app, because I have written an app that goes along with those that is kind of like a SCADA for them. So I need some help with beta testing.
I take that back. I do have EcoFlow and an Anchor that do have Bluetooth in them. I just thought of that. Sorry.
What are they? Are they like those power stations?
Yes.
Okay, you know, I haven't done any of the protocols for those yet, but it's not a bad idea to try to add support for those, so let me try to do that. You said you had an Anchor, and what was the other one?
EcoFlow.
Okay, cool. I already have a protocol for the EcoFlow batteries, but I'll have to see if I can do the power stations.
Okay, I'll send you an Amazon link to exactly what I have. That way you know what it is.
All right, cool. And I'll get to see if I can find the protocol spec on the internet. And I'll also send you a link to the Google Drive where I have the app so you can download it and check it out and see what it looks like.
Okay, like I said, I've been looking at the EcoWorthy brand because I have some of their batteries already. We've had really good service out of them. So that's what I was looking at with them, and they're cheap. You can get a 315 amp hour for $429.
Yeah, I saw a deal last week for like a 280 for like $299 or something like that. So yeah, they're getting pretty insanely cheap.
Not exactly. They've got a 300 and a 315, and I don't know what the difference is in them, other than that little bit of amperage, but there's a pretty good price difference.
So on both of those, they're probably using the Eve 314 amp hour cell, and one of them is just being a little conservative with their rating, and the other one is being a little bit, aggressive with their rating.
Okay. Like I said, I don't know a whole lot about them, other than I've had good luck with them, so... That's all I can tell you about them. But I am pulling into work, and I will send you that stuff here in a little while, and maybe we can hook up on that KO4HKX. And I'll be clear on your phone, but have a great day, Eric. Hopefully it's not too stressful for you.
All right, see you later, Patrick, and thanks for that info. I will probably chat with you next week sometime or over the weekend if I get this thing working. Talk to you later, WTJKT73. Scott, if you're still around, I'm going to jump out of here, too, so I'm almost at the office. So I hope you have a great day as well, and we'll chat with you later on next week. WTJKT.